fiction feeds your fantasy. A little fiction dampens the reality. A little fiction. Hello and welcome to the Variety Cast. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 89, Deontology versus Utilitarianism. Your resource this time is Amanda Grange's advice to authors. Amanda Grange is the author of a group of Jane Austen sequels, including Mr. Darcy Vampire and Mr. Darcy's Diary. You can find it at amandagrange.com/writing-tips.html. Yes, a space. I know it's strange. If for some reason that doesn't work, use %20 in place of the space, and I will link in the show notes. I'm on a philosophy jag, and I found something interesting. That you can build tension in your stories by conflicting two ethical philosophies, deontology versus utilitarianism. In brief, deontology says the ends don't justify the means. Utilitarianism says that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Here's some famous thought experiments. A runaway train is heading for a switch. On its current path, there are 5 people who won't be able to get out of the way on time. On the alternate path, there is 1 person who wouldn't be able to get out of the way on time. You're standing at the switch. Do you leave it alone or do you switch it? Deontologists say leave it. It is wrong to kill that one person. The action is wrong. Utilitarianisms say switch it. Saving 5 lives is a greater good than saving 1. Now, another one. Picture a doctor who needs 5 organs to save 5 patients, and he won't be able to get them any other way. Should he kill an otherwise healthy person to harvest the organs? Would killing that one person to save the 5 be to the greater good? This assumes that all the participants are moral equals. Should the doctor kill and, say, harvest the organs of, let's say, a guy who kidnaps and murders little kids for fun to save 5 morally upright people? Let's say the train is heading for 1 person, but you could switch it to hit the 5 people who threw her onto the tracks. Does absolute moral value change things? Does participation in setting up the crisis change things? Your characters may face some similar conflicts. One might think an action is a form of poetic justice, while the other thinks it's revenge and disagrees with it. One might want to assassinate an enemy leader. The other is against something that's that dishonorable and that just morally repugnant. Keep your readers waffling on who's right. The more they keep switching sides, can see both points, the more involved they're going to be. Faith leads to conflict as well. If a character believes in a divine force, a god, goddess, pantheon, whatever, the teachings of that faith will guide his actions. Opposing religions will bring characters into forms of conflict, ranging from gentle teasing to armed combat, depending on the society. Characters will fall into this conflict not only with each other, but with society. An atheist character will resent the restrictions put in place in the name of religion. A member of a minority religion will chafe at the rules put in place purely for the benefit of the majority religion. A true story, in New York, you can't sell alcohol before noon on a Sunday. These blue laws were put in place so that people wouldn't go to church drunk. And this is where I always wonder what would happen if for some crazy reason there was an enormous turnout at church and they needed more communion wine but couldn't buy it because of the blue laws. But I digress. When I was a cashier, there was a Hasidic gentleman who wanted to buy a case of kosher wine for the first night of Passover. Now, Passover is the quintessential Jewish get-drunk holiday. One of the requirements for the service is that you drink 4 glasses of wine. And I will here admit that I have never gotten through the service anything close to sober by the end of it. But the Hasidic guy wanted to buy a case of kosher for Passover wine for the first night of Passover, and it incidentally fell out on a Sunday. After I checked him out, my manager told me I shouldn't have sold it to him because it was a Sunday morning, and I assured him the customer was not about to attend church drunk later that morning. I had no intention of interfering with one person's preparation for a religious observance in the name of someone else's religion. For the record, if Judaism were the dominant religion, I would not interfere with someone getting communion wafers or leavening to make them during Passover. It would be pretty much the same thing. When multiple conflicting faiths are equals, the tensions will, for the most part, increase. When the conflicting faiths are both contenders for hegemony, the conflict can be intense and has historically led to war. Note, not all faiths are conflicting. Kemet and Wicca can coexist very nicely and would be able to do so pretty happily, even if both approached hegemony. Conflict comes in if the observance of one interferes with another. So one religion requires absolute silence for quiet prayer at noon, and the other religion requires, you know, banging drums at noon. The other way they tend to come into conflict is if national identity is founded on one. Very traditional for a lot of old cultures. They form god myths. You know, the leader is a god, or the leader is the descendant of a god, or the leader channels a god, or any such. So national identity becomes formed on this basis, and that can lead to conflict when it comes in conflict with another religion. I always go back to Egypt, and I think of the religion of Set in Lower Egypt and the religion of Horus in Upper Egypt, and how they came into conflict when Lower Egypt and Upper Egypt went to war. The last way they tend to come into conflict is if the stated truth of one is a direct violation of the stated truth of the other. One says that there are no such things as goddesses, and the other one worships a goddess. If a religion holds not just spiritual but political power, it will often fight to hold on to such power. And not all faiths need to fall into conflict. They can redact their stories. Egypt did this many times with many of its neighbors. You get a god by the name of Serapis, which was a Greek introduction into the Egyptian mythos, and it seemed to work pretty well for the Greeks and the Egyptians. Or they can just coexist next to each other and, you know, get along just fine. It depends on your world. It depends on the importance of religion in your world. It depends on the natures of the various religions. It depends on the natures of the participants. Science throws in another wrinkle, and the key point is that these are things that people really feel passionately about. And bringing in real faiths can turn off readers, either because it's too positive to religion and the reader is an atheist and doesn't like religion, or it's too negative to religion and the reader is a person of faith and won't like it. These tend to be really strong push-button issues. But in science fiction and fantasy, when we can make up our own religions, we can play them against each other without any real concern to that and drive some really interesting reader tension. And again, it gets good if you can have the reader waffle as to whose side is right when they both have good points and you can sort of play them against each other. Your prompt for this time is to look at your main character, your protagonist, your antagonist, and your secondary characters. Try to find out what philosophical underpinnings they subscribe to, what schools of philosophy they subscribe to. Maybe it would be Aristotle's value ethics. I was dealing with that last week in Knit Spirit. And then see how they could be driven. A wedge could be driven between them. How could they be driven into a conflict that will really drag your reader in, that will really absorb your reader into the nature of the conflict itself? But that should wrap us up for this time. Until next week, feed the muse and keep writing. Some of the music provided tonight from the Pod Show, PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.
Look up and reach down to a box of dreams and pick anyone you like. Choose the one that will make you the happiest. But you gotta picture it from all sides. That should be so easy.